Please turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Hear now the words of God. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. May God bless the reading of His Word to His glory and our good by the Holy Spirit. Today we are focusing upon the first part of verse 8. If you notice the way that's worded is, beware of philosophy according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. So philosophy according to Christ is good. But philosophy according to the tradition of men and the elementary basic principles of this world is bad. So we're looking at the first part of that today. Worldly, earthly, empty, deceitful, satanic philosophy, which is why the sermon is titled, Beware of Idolatry. Beware of Idolatry. Paul has already established in his letter to the church at Colossae that there are two kingdoms spiritually in the world, in the universe. Two kingdoms. And he laid that out in Colossians chapter 1 in his prayer. Colossians 1:13. One of the reasons we ought to be thankful in our worthy walk. For He, God the Father, Colossians 1:13, He, God the Father, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That through the work of Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, the Father has transferred us from a kingdom of darkness, Satan's kingdom, into the kingdom of His beloved Son, kingdom of light. That we're in the midst of a great epic spiritual battle. And we are now, by God's grace, on His side. In Paul's letter to the church of Colossae, we are now in the middle of Colossians chapter 2. And this is the very central core argument of his whole letter. His letter is polemic. It is argumentative. His central purpose is to take on the false teachers that were in and around Colossae. You remember Epaphras is the one who established the church at Colossae, probably came to faith while Paul was at Ephesus. Well, Epaphras traveled over 1,000 miles to Rome, where Paul was in prison this time, to tell him about what was going on at Colossae. They were true Christians. Things were good at the church of Colossae, but in and around Colossae were false teachers. And the subtlety and sneakiness of the false teachers was that Jesus is not who Paul said He was. That He's more along the lines of just an angel. Which is why in Colossians 2:18, he says the false teachers advocate worshiping angels. We know that Satan And the scriptural word for Satan literally means adversary. Adversary. That Satan is our chief adversary. And he is a fallen angel. That it kind of makes sense that what he wants is for people to falsely think that, yeah, believe in Jesus, but he's just a lesser being. He's not truly 100% God. He's some other emanation or creation from God who created material things. But these false teachers had a view that material things were evil. And therefore, they did not believe that God himself created all things, but that some other lesser being had to do it. Paul, in the middle of this chapter, is making clear, as he has done elsewhere in his writings, that the fundamental problem of the human race is misplaced worship. Is worshiping and serving a creature rather than the Creator. As we looked at last week in Colossians 2, 6 and 7, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. And that title, Lord, was used by the scholars in the Septuagint who translated the Hebrew into Greek in Exodus 3:14, where Moses said, "Who shall I say sent me?" And God said, "I am that I am." He's Lord. He is literally the self-existent, eternal Creator. And that's what God was saying to Moses. Tell them the Creator of the universe, the Lord, has sent you. And what Paul is concerned with those at Colossae, he's telling them these false teachers around are coming and they're very sneaky. They come with persuasive words, the end of verse 4 in Colossians chapter 2. They have deceit and trickery, as we see in verse 8 in our text today, where they say, yes, worship Christ, but we have special knowledge. Christ is not the Creator of the universe. He's merely on the level of an angel. In other words, Paul is telling them, don't embrace the foolishness of the false teachers. That in essence is idolatry. Worshiping and serving a creature rather than the Creator. As A.W. Tozer said, if we have any thoughts of God that are less than what he has revealed himself to be, it is an idol. All idolatry begins with wrong thoughts about who God is. And if we're really wise, if we really accept that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ and Christ alone, as he is stressed in Colossians 2, 3, then we will show that wisdom, Christ's wisdom, in how we live life with a worthy walk. As Paul prayed for in Colossians 1, 9 and 10, and as he is encouraging them to continue in Colossians 2, 6, continue being wise. Idolatry shows a lack of godly wisdom. It's foolishness. And what flows from ungodliness, idolatry, what flows from it is all sorts of problems. Violence, not peace. slavery, not liberty, sinfulness, not righteousness, and ultimately hell, not heaven. Idolatry shows itself by its works, but as well, godly wisdom, true worship of who God is in Christ, shows itself as well in its fruit, its worthy walk. But true worship of God worships all that God is for us in Christ alone. Nothing else added. He's truly God and truly man, two natures in one person. Sufficient all in and of himself to save us, both from the guilt of sin and the power of sin. And that's what he's flowing into, that we are complete in Christ, Colossians 2:10. And all that Christ has done in his person and in his work, Colossians 2:11 through 15, for us, frees us and saves us both from the guilt of sin and the power of sin. Christ and Christ alone does. Worship him alone, understanding who he is in his person and what he has done in his work. All else is idolatry and foolishness and following after satanic, empty, deceitful philosophy. In the end, the false teachers in and around Colossae had one question ultimately. Did God say? Did God say? What do the scriptures principally teach? What man is to believe about God and what duty God requires of man. He who created the heavens and the earth is infinite and personal. He is there and he speaks. He reveals himself to us in actions and in words. And we have his words. He has the words of life, eternal life. Life, liberty, and true blessing for eternity are found in Christ alone. Do not in any way try and add or subtract from the work of Christ. Your idolatry will be seen in either legalism or asceticism. Legalism, Colossians 2:16 and 17, or asceticism, Colossians 2:20 to 23. The false teachers think they have mystical special knowledge. They're puffed up in their minds. Colossians 2:18 and 19. Rest alone in Christ and continue to grow in the knowledge of God. As he prayed in Colossians 1, 9 through 14, as well in Colossians 2, 2 and 3, all the knowledge of God's mystery that he has revealed to us of his great wisdom in the person and work of Christ. Please follow along with today's sermon using the outline that's in the bulletin. Point one, constantly guard against idolatry. Constantly guard against idolatry. Beginning of verse 8, Colossians 2, verse 8 says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. Beware." I grew up with the New American Standard Version. See to it. See to it. I like that translation of blepo in the Greek. See to it. See to it. This is something you've got to focus on. See to it. Guard against. Be ever watchful as a soldier on guard duty. You have an adversary, a spiritual enemy, seeking to kidnap you and take you away through false, deceptive, persuasive words. See to it that you're on your guard at all times. I mentioned Colossians 2:18 that these false teachers were involved in the worship of angels. Paul warns about even a more general idolatry in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, the end of the verse, that covetousness is idolatry. Colossians 3:5. Coveting earthly things, it reminds you of the 10th commandment of the Ten Commandments. We as sinners, as Calvin said, are idol factories till the day we die. Sin remains in our flesh. Christ warned about false teachers. Matthew 7:15, he said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves." It's this idea of deceit, of trickery. They outside they look okay, but inside they're ravenous wolves. Christ also said in Matthew 16:6, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, of both the adders of Scripture and the subtractors of Scripture." The Pharisees, as you know, added human traditions, countless human traditions, and treated them as if they were commandments of God, but they were not, mere man-made traditions. The Sadducees were the subtractors, denied a bodily resurrection, for example. So Christ is saying, beware of anyone that would either add to the Scriptures or subtract from the Scriptures. This is him at the beginning of his temptation in the wilderness. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Don't add, don't subtract. Live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Apostle Paul and Peter, same thing. They continued these warnings. So the apostles continued the ministry of Christ in warning Christians to be ever watchful, to see to it that they're watching out for these false teachers. Paul says in to the elders at Ephesus, Acts 20, verse 31, how he said to watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears about these savage wolves that are going to come in among you and try and devour you with their false teachings. Paul wrote to the Philippians, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. The Judaizers in the circle saying, yeah, believe in Christ, but you also have to do certain things. It's Christ and Christ alone that saves. It frees us from both the guilt and power of sin. Peter warned about false teachers. 2 Peter 2:1, that there was false teachers in Israel in the Old Testament. There's going to be false teachers among us. And he goes on in 2 Peter 3:1 about scoffers that will come in the last days. And he says, I write now you this second epistle. In both, I'm trying to stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. And we need reminders all the time that says, you're in the midst of a great epic spiritual battle. It is not dualism. Satan is never presented on equality with God. Satan is a created being, an angel. And when he rebelled against God, he took a third of the angels with him. Call them demons. Satan is our adversary, our chief adversary. But we need reminders to say we have a spiritual adversary, and he's out to kidnap us. False teachers are always trying to tempt us to idolatry. You analyze carefully Jesus being tempted in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11, dealing with the three main temptations there. Some scholars will say with the lust of the flesh, dealing with turning the stones into bread, or the lust of the eyes, saying, okay, jump off the top of the temple and watch the angels do fantastic things. The lust of the eyes. Or the boastful pride of life. The boastful pride of possessions. The last one. Satan says, bow down and worship me and I'll give you all these earthly kingdoms to possess. Bow down and worship me. Christ's words were, God and God alone are the one you ought to worship and serve, period. God alone. False teachers are always getting to the point of what? Idolatry. It's where it all ends up. Point two, our minds are either captive to Christ or an idol. With Christ, as we see from our text, what Paul has been so clear is that Christ is the creator of the universe. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. He created all things. Through him and for him are all things, and he created all things. All principalities, powers, and rulers, all of it. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in him. In him dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily, Colossians 2, 9. The deity and sufficiency of Christ should captivate our minds. To say, I'm totally captivated by the person and work of Christ. To love him with all my mind, and heart and soul and strength. Just let no one cheat you. The word there in the Greek, psilogogio, it's the only time that Greek word is mentioned in the entire Bible. It means to carry you off as a spoil of war, to be kidnapped, taken prisoner as a spoil of war. That's what our adversary is seeking to do through false teaching. To steal us away and kidnap us from Christ. There's the doctrine of concurrence. We know, as we noted last Sunday, that verse 7, Colossians 2, 7, we're rooted, built up, and established in the faith, all in the passive tense. This is what God has done to us, his elect. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, we are the elect of God, holy and beloved. Colossians 3, 12. As the elect of God, whom God in his grace chose to save in the person and work of Christ, he has rooted us, he has built up in Christ and established us in Christ. And yet what? There's the doctrine of concurrence. We're also responsible to walk a certain way in which we've been taught, to continue in the faith, growing to spiritual maturity, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in us, both to will and to do His good pleasure. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. So eternal security is taught in Scripture. We are confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in us will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus, Philippians 1, 6. But our adversary is seeking to kidnap us and take us as a spoil of war in this great epic spiritual battle through false teachers. How do you know if you're saved? You're truly reconciled to God? We have seen this in Colossians chapter 1. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, Colossians 1, 23. As we have seen in Colossians 2, verse 5, look at Colossians 2, 5. Paul says, "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Good order and steadfastness were terms used for the military. You and I are in a great, epic spiritual battle every day. And the good order was dealing with the individual discipline, and the steadfastness is our corporate unit. Our good order and corporate unit, that we are unified together in the person and work of Christ. So our individual discipline in this great epic spiritual battle . We've got to be held captive to Christ, both individually and corporately. Christ alone. God delivered us from Satan's kingdom of darkness and moved us to Christ's kingdom. As we've noted, Colossians 1:13. Look down at Colossians 2:15, what Christ did at the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. His heel may have been bruised, but He crushed the head of Satan and his demonic forces at the cross. There's that sense in which it's Paul to the Galatians in Galatians 5:1, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." These false teachers in and around Colossae had many characteristics. They resembled one Jewish sect, some false teachers called the Essenes, that had mysticism and legalism and asceticism, all a part of it, the Essenes. But the Greeks, the Gentiles as well, in their idolatry also had forms of asceticism and legalisms and mysticisms. As we've noted, the ideas that were there among the Greeks, the Gentiles, gave rise eventually to what was called Gnosticism. So what Paul is saying is, hey, by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, you've been set free from slavery to sin. You're no longer in the kingdom of darkness. You're now in the kingdom of light. You're in Christ's kingdom. Don't go back to slavery in any way. Don't accept these false teachers and go back to slavery. Don't be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Continue worshiping and serving Christ alone as God incarnate, our Lord and Savior. As you've been taught, Colossians 2:7, our lives are captive to Christ's wisdom. Our lives are captive to Christ's wisdom. The way to the heart is through the mind. Way to the heart is through the mind. And a central purpose of his letter to the church of Colossae, as we've seen in Colossians 2:2, is that their hearts Literally, their minds would be encouraged or strengthened. Their minds would be strengthened. What in your mind you consider valuable draws in your love and affections. If you think in your mind something is worthless, there's no love of it. Your mind guides and directs your conscience, since your mind understands what's right and wrong. The way to the heart is through the mind. As we've been taught through the prophets and the apostles about the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ Himself is recorded in the Gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. As you've been taught, may your whole life be held captive to Him. Wisdom is seen in a whole life. Wisdom is not just the man sitting there on the chair with his chin on his fist thinking. It's seen in a life. When it's captive to it. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. It was Thomas Boston who noted that you and I, not just our unbelievers out there, but you and I, must bring every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. Every thought must be kidnapped and captive to the obedience of Christ in our minds. We have Romans 12, 1 and 2, that you and I are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Our whole life is to be a living sacrifice to God, one of worship, as we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, Romans 12, 2. About the person and work of Christ that there in Romans Paul revealed from Romans chapter 1 verse 18 all the way through in the presentation of the gospel. Jesus in Matthew 7, 21 to 27 . You remember that Jesus said that many will say to Him, Lord, Lord, and they shall not enter the kingdom of heaven at judgment day. But only he who does the will of his Father in heaven, Jesus said, who show their wisdom and affection in the personal relationship to Him as Lord in a wise life, in a life that's held captive to His teachings. And therefore, you're like a wise man who built his house upon the rock of the person and work of Christ and not on sinking sand. But this is this idea that we are rooted and built up and established by faith in Christ. So walk in Him. In Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Hear Him, hear His words as you've been taught, and so do. Show wisdom in a worthy walk. In how you eat, how you drink, it is all in a mindset, whatever we do, to do all to the glory of God. Being guided and directed by His teachings. Knowing that we are complete in Him and that we can add nothing to His finished work at the cross. It is out of love and thanks that we live for Him. Christ and Christ alone saves from sin. And this is why he prayed at the beginning of his prayer, as we saw in Colossians 1, 9. Oh, that you would be filled, totally controlled, with a deep and thorough knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Right? That you would walk worthy then of the Lord, fully pleasing Him in all things. Colossians 1, 10. Our minds should be captive to Christ. But if they're not captive to Christ, then they're captive to an idol. It's one or the other. Point three, idolatry is based on empty, deceitful, satanic philosophy. How many other adjectives can we add to that? It's wicked. It's wicked. Philosophy. Beware. See to it that no one cheats you through philosophy and empty deceit. Philosophia is the word in the Greek where we get philosophy. Interestingly, it's the only time this word is used as well in the Bible, this Greek word. Literally, it means to love wisdom. To love wisdom. The question then becomes, well, which wisdom? Ultimately, we have two kingdoms, Satan's kingdom and Christ's kingdom. Each has a form of wisdom. Which do you love? It is seen in how you live life. How you walk daily. As Jesus said when he was dealing with his religious opponents and about John the Baptist in Matthew 11, verse 19, the end of the verse, wisdom is justified by her children, by her works. Wisdom is proved right by its works. Satanic wisdom will not free you from the guilt of sin, and satanic wisdom will not free you from the power of sin. It's two main points of Paul here in Colossians chapter 2. The power of sin is dealing with our daily walk. That's at the end of Colossians 2:23. Empty, deceitful, satanic philosophy has no value against the indulgence of the sinful flesh. Empty, deceitful, satanic philosophy will not free anyone from the sinful, enslaving power of sin. No matter what things you try and add with legalism, no matter what things you try and subtract through asceticism, saying don't touch, don't eat, don't do whatever. Only Christ and Christ alone will free a sinner from the guilt of sin and the power of sin. Wisdom is justified by her works. There's two types of philosophy. There's two types of wisdom, either of Satan or of God. Either of Satan or of God. You just listen to how James puts it in James 3, 13 through 18. So there it's with earthly wisdom that's satanic and demonic and heavenly wisdom that's of God. Two types of wisdom. But it's seen in its works. Listen, James 3, 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. It's not heavenly wisdom, but it's satanic, empty, deceitful. He says it's earthly, sensual, demonic. James 3:16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and everything evil are there. It's chaos. It's violence, not peace. Sin, not righteousness. Every evil thing is there. From empty, deceitful, satanic, worldly philosophy. He goes on in James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above, heavenly wisdom from God in Christ, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. It's reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You have that same idea presented by Paul to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1:18 to 21. That the message of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, this earthly, empty, deceitful, satanic philosophy. I will destroy this earthly wisdom and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent of this world. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom, its empty, deceitful, satanic philosophy, did not know God. But it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Empty, deceitful, satanic philosophy will not bring you a knowledge of God. He goes on to describe in his second letter at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, that refers to Satan, our adversary, is the small g, God of this age. Of this empty, deceitful, worldly wisdom. Oh, that you would be filled with the knowledge of God and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Colossians 1:9. If you believe Satan and his false teachers, you will worship idols. Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. He comes as a wolf, but he's in sheep's clothing. He comes as if he's an angel of light, a messenger of God. That's what angel literally means. He comes as if he's giving you a message from God, as if he has special knowledge. To say God didn't really say, I have what it is really true. And his false teachers, who are human beings, disguise themselves as being as well super apostles, as he goes on to mock them in his letter to the church at Corinth. But you will end up worshiping idols if you follow earthly, empty, deceitful, satanic philosophy. You'll end up worshiping angels. Colossians 2:18. You'll worship an idol. To worship anything other than the true and living God and Him alone is to worship an idol. First Corinthians 10:20. Paul wrote this, rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice to in their idolatry, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. What is behind every form of idolatry is worshiping demons, Satan. That's what Paul started with in his letter to the church at Rome in Romans 1:18 to 25. If we do not honor and praise God alone as He has created Himself to be and worship and serve Him alone, then we're worshiping an idol. And it's done thinking one is wise. Professing to be wise, they became fools and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. They embraced a lie and rejected the truth of what God has revealed. Satan is the father of lies, John 8:44. This whole idea of deceit. Deceit, pates in Greek, is a fraud or a trick. A fraud or a trick. And this is this idea in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, where the Apostle Paul's describing all the spiritual armor that God has given us, and he wants us to stand strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. We want to put on every piece of God's spiritual armor with prayer. Oh, that we would stand against the wiles or crafty schemes of the devil, of Satan. He comes with trickery and deceit. And we need wisdom to discern what's true and what's right. In the end, it's the satanic philosophy is empty. It's empty. Kanes in Greek means unfruitful. That idea is that sinners are unprofitable. Romans chapter 3, verse 12. There's no eternal profit. It's a wasted life. Piper wrote that book, Don't Waste Your Life. This is this whole idea that empty, deceitful, satanic philosophy is just that. It's where you will waste your life on things that are vaporous, that are here and gone, and not lasting and eternal. It's empty in that it will not save us from the guilt of sin or the power of sin. And that's what Paul is trying to say in Colossians 2:10 through 2:15, is we're complete in Christ. He saves us in his person and work from the guilt of sin and the power of sin. We're forgiven of sins in him. We're regenerated and born again in him, made alive when we'd been spiritually dead. So that in him we have power to overcome the indulgence of the flesh. The power of Christ within us through the Holy Spirit. It's the choice between what is utterly empty and what is absolutely full and complete. Christ. That's the contrast Paul is presenting between a life of true worship of Christ and a life that's wasted in idols. Idolatry from satanic wisdom involves legalisms, mysticism, and asceticism. That's what he's saying. It comes in many shapes and forms. In this case, these false teachers are saying, yeah, you got to believe in Christ, but he's not sufficient to save you because he's not truly God. And Paul's trying to say, hey, you are complete in Christ and Christ alone. Christianity involves do's and it involves don'ts. It does. But we are saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. Not of ourselves, so that none of us can boast. Not one thing we do earns heaven. It's Ephesians 2:8-9. But we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Ephesians 2:10. And we have to understand the substance is Christ. Colossians 2:16. That the symbols that were there in the Old Testament festivals and religious holidays foreshadowed Christ. And of the dietary laws in the Old Testament, all foreshadowed Christ. They were a part of the ceremonial law. The substance has come. Christ. Look to Him and Him alone. Asceticism and is this idea that we've got to avoid certain things. So the false teachers are saying, yeah, you got to believe in Christ, but you also have to try to avoid certain things as well to earn heaven. Don't touch. Don't taste. Don't handle. Colossians 2:21. Obviously, things are sinful. That's one thing. Flee idolatry, right? Flee sinful things. But this is this idea of certain foods. You know, today it's okay to eat pork. We're okay to eat pork today. Perhaps not for every meal because you'll raise your cholesterol. But it's okay to eat pork. It's not sinful, and you will not be earning anything toward heaven by avoiding pork. Christ and Christ alone saves. So do not think that anyone comes to you and says, oh, I've got special knowledge. This is this mysticism. I really know what God is saying to us about where meaning is found and salvation is found. We have to be Berean Christians and examine the Scriptures daily to see whether these things be so, Acts 17:11. Because the mystery of God, Colossians 2:2, has been revealed to us in Christ. It's all here in the Scriptures. It's revealed. It's not secret. It's not specially given to me or Pastor Ron or any other teacher. It's in the Scriptures. And it is there for all of us to understand through the power and understanding of the Holy Spirit. Do not fall for any trickery of mysticism that these false teachers come with. Point four, two sources of empty, deceitful, satanic philosophy. And I'll say they're connected. We're distinguishing them, looking at them separately, but they are connected. The tradition of men is as well according to the basic principles of this world that is empty, deceitful, and satanic. Satan uses, through his lies and false teachers, the tradition of men. What is he getting at here? The word for tradition there means it is given from one generation to another. But it's of men. That in itself does not make it right or wrong. In Christianity, let me say, we do not embrace traditionalism. Something is not right just because it's old. Neither do we embrace progressivism. Something is right just because it's new. Remember the philosophers in Athens, they spent their time discussing nothing but new things, right? We've got 24/7 news channels today. Something is not right just because it's something new, and neither is something right just because it's old. But we have to ask ourselves, is the tradition that's being passed from one generation to the next, is it of God or is it of men? Satan uses the tradition of men, and that's illustrated by Protagoras, an ancient pre-Socratic philosopher. He died in 422 BC. Protagoras is famous for Well, different things, but one of them is saying this, that man is the measure of all things. He's an unbelieving, empty, deceitful philosopher. You and me as human beings are not the final arbiter of truth. You and me as human beings are to trust in God with all our heart and lean not on our own understandings. God is the only one who is the absolute standard of what is true, what is morally right, and what is real. The tradition of God is what is true. This idea in Jeremiah 6:16, see and ask for the old paths, the old ways, where the good way is, and walk therein. What God has revealed to us in His Word is sacred, and we need to pass that on to our children, on to the next generation, teaching them as we rise up and as we lie down and we walk along the way and at all times, to pass the traditions of God, of the fullness of Christ, His anointed one, as our prophet, priest, and king, that our hope is found in Christ and Christ alone. Salvation from sin's guilt, from salvation from sin's power is found in Christ alone, and we have to pass that tradition on, that wisdom, on to the next generation. Jesus said in Mark 7:9, says to His religious opponents, all too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. You reject the commandment and traditions of God to keep your own traditions. This is this idea of Colossians 2:22, that these false teachers have a self-imposed religion. It's their own traditions that they've established from their own special knowledge, mysticism, that is either filled with their own man-made legalisms or their own asceticisms of avoiding certain things. Satan also uses not just a tradition of men, but this tradition of men is according to the basic principles of the world, sometimes referred to as the elementary principles of the world. And the Greek word there is the idea of things in a row. Literally, it means the alphabetical letters in a row, literally. Commentators vary on this. What does that mean? Either as a child learning the letters of an alphabet. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 says this, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Same word is used. Under the basic principles or elements of the world. That we were childish. So he's, in one sense, he's saying, don't be childish. No, follow the wisdom of God, our Creator. It's found in Christ. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Him, Colossians 2:3. Don't be childish. Following this empty, deceitful, satanic philosophy. As well, it could be saying as if the stars determine man's fate, such as in astrology. You have the, for instance, at that time, many of the ancient Greeks followed the 12 constellations of the zodiac. Many today too, as well. I remember a sermon by Dr. Eric Alexander that I listened to, I don't know, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, on the greatness of God from Isaiah 40. And he said, you know, one of the most used hotlines for phones for 1-800 numbers in England at the time in the United Kingdom was for astrology. We're in a neo-pagan society that thinks that their daily destiny or monthly destiny is by the constellation of the stars and the basic simple order that's there in the constellations. It's a form of physical determinism, that our life is determined by physical things. And you see that among unbelievers all the time. Intellectuals, B.F. Skinner, believed in environmental determinism. Sigmund Freud, an atheist, believed in psychological determinism. Francis Crick, one of the discoverers of DNA, believed in chemical determinism, is what he was looking for. That the biochemical processes, we're just a biological machine, is all we are. And it's biological, physical things that determine how we behave and think. As Francis Schaeffer said, the true and living God is non-deterministic. He's a free agent. He does according to His will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And God created us non-deterministic. He created us in His image. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. That we have free agency. We choose according to what we want, or what our mind chooses. That is the will. What do you want? It's not determined by what donut you ate for breakfast. We are free, responsible agents, responsible for our choices. But you can see that in their false teaching. See, you got to do certain things or avoid eating and doing certain things. It's as if physical things determine your ultimate destiny. It's childish. It's empty, deceitful, and satanic philosophy. It's not what goes in the stomach that defiles a man, what comes out of it. To them, it's what goes in the stomach that defiles a person. That is empty, deceitful, satanic philosophy. Christ is God. He is the creator of all. This is one of the central message that Paul has to the idolaters, the false teachers in and around Colossae, and he wants the believers to stand strong on Christ as the infinite creator of all things, who added to himself human flesh to be our redeemer, to be our savior from both the guilt of sin and the power of sin. That's Colossians 1, 16 and 17. All things were created through him and for him. Colossians 2, 9, in Him dwells the fullness of Godhead bodily. It is Christ who created the constellations of the stars. And this is why Isaiah in his day was saying the same thing to them in Isaiah 40, to the idolaters of his day, that Paul is saying as well to the idolaters in and around Colossae, is Christ is the creator of the zodiac. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. Your destiny is in His hands, not the physical stars. Isaiah wrote to the idolaters in Isaiah 40, 26, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of His might and the strength of His power. Not one of them is missing. All of the billions and billions of galaxies filled with billions of stars in each one. As we now know from 100 years ago, Hubble looked out his telescope from Southern California, and little pinpoints of light that were way out there in the distance were actually galaxies. Before then, all we thought, we were the only galaxy. The Milky Way galaxy. But there's actually billions and billions of other galaxies, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the creator of all of it. You are complete in Him. Worship and serve Him and Him alone. And let His words dwell in you richly in all wisdom, Colossians 3:16. Holy Bible, Book Divine. What do the Scriptures principally teach? What man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let us search and examine the Scriptures daily with our minds set on Christ and Christ alone and to live worthy of Him every day, worshiping Him out of love and thanks, that we are complete in Him. He saves and He alone. Let us pray. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, You're heavenly. I pray, dear Lord, that You would remove from our hearts every speck of idolatry. May we worship and serve You alone, for You alone are worthy. May we love Your word, the Bible, as we love You, as You have revealed us, taught us clearly, spiritual truths of all the glorious and great things that You are for us in Jesus Christ, Your only begotten Son. May every thought in our minds always be captive to Christ as He has revealed Himself to us in His precious words in the Bible. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.